My way was filled with danger. I felt alone. The enemy had singled me out to do me wrong. And when he drew near, my heart filled with fear. Then I heard someone dear calling me to his side.
And I ran under his wings. There he covered me, and now I can see. And the enemy still looks for me, but what he can't see is that I'm under my Lord's wings. Under his wings.
Thunder rolled, dark clouds hung low, I was out in a storm. Shivering in the coldness there, no safe retreat from harm. And there blew strong winds, would this be my end? Then I heard my friend calling me to his side.
But what he can't see is that I'm under my Lord's wings. Under his wings. There he covered me, and now I can see. Under his
upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Yes, they shall mount up with wings as an eagle. Amen. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Yes, teach me, Lord, to wait. Down on my knees now. Teach me, Lord, oh yes, to wait. Well, down on my knees. Till in your own good time, you will answer my pleas. Teach me not. Well, on what others do,
Lord God, we thank you for this wonderful morning, wonderful day that you have given us, Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord God, that you open the windows of heaven, Lord God, and pour each and every one of us, Lord, your love, your peace, your joy overflowing, Lord God, that when we leave this place, Lord, we can share it to our loved ones, friends, neighbors, and to everybody, Lord God. Lord, open our eyes and ears of understanding. Lord, I pray that you bless your people. Bless thy word in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You all may be seated for a while. Praise God. I feel nervous. Praise the Lord. I've been, you know, that monitor in the office really make me more nervous. Because I'm afraid I might miss when Brother Jeff called me, so I kept on watching. Praise God. So I just thank that the Lord gave me again the opportunity to be here. I always said I just want to be a blessing to the people. Praise God. And I always like to come here. And I only just want to sit, you know, just listen to this. Praise God. I remember when Brother Branham, you know, he said he wants to break, you know, the horse and rodeo, something like that. Then when he went there, he saw what's happening. And then they asked for a rider. If he's a rider, he said, no, I'm not. Praise God. See, but anyway, I thank God for all the opportunities that He gave me to give you my testimony and this morning to preach to you. Praise God. And I thank the Lord, for letting me. It's a great privilege to me yesterday to be in the wedding. That is the first time I witnessed the wedding here in the state. Praise God. I really appreciate Sister Charity for inviting me. I don't know really what to do. I keep on asking the brother Jim and Sister Julie. Praise God. See? And Berlone has been a very, the first, when I come into the ministry, I've been always in the mission field. The first day that I went into the ministry, I'm in the mission field. And I don't know it because the only thing that's in my heart is to find soul, you know. Praise God, to share to them the gospel of the Lord. See? And that's all I know what to do. So I keep on moving around the Philippines. The first thing first, God put in my heart to share it to my loved ones, to my family, to my brother and sister, and to my friends. That's why the first people in my church are my family and my friend. Praise God. See? And then, you know, I go out and went to many places, to many provinces, and it just happened, you know? It just happened. Praise God. And I have no background in theology. I am an engineer. Praise God. See? By heart, I am a musician. See? Then I am business-minded. So nothing in my person about God, you know. See? So when God called me in the ministry, I really don't want to go. See? I really don't want to go. Even today, if God will ask me what I want to be, I will not choose to be a minister. Okay? So you must love your pastor. You must support him. You must respect him double. See? Praise God. It's very hard to become a pastor. It's not easy. It's very easy to preach. See? Everybody can preach. Even the politician now preach. See? And there is a good and bad preaching, you know? Praise God. But the responsibility, sometimes people thought the pastor is, you know, it's easy, just give the sermon and boom, boom, like that. And then, yes, he has a good life. See? No. Praise God. See, because I always said, see, if you give the people the wrong advice, the pastor can make or break the life of a family. Amen. See, and I don't want that kind of responsibility. See, I don't like it. Praise God. See, that's why I always said, you must support your pastor, be with your pastor. Like the prophet said, be with your pastor always. See, if you think that he's a servant of God, see, you pray for him, support him, and remember the pastor is also human. He has a heart, and he has a stomach. Praise God. See? Hallelujah. So when I went into the ministry, like I told you, I have no experience. I never become a deacon or elders in the church. Somebody just in the ministry, he asked me if you... Do you have the, you know, the Lord told me to take you with me, so I go with him and start going into the field. Amen. Then the problem now, I don't know how to prepare notes and anything. See, for me to prepare one notes, it took me 2 months sometimes. And sometimes I envy people, envy some minister, they just take one scripture and they can, you know, go on that. See, so that is one problem with me. Praise God. See, I said, how come that I am not, you know, something like an oddball? See, then I said, how come that I am like this? I cannot prepare notes unless, you know, it took me so long time just to prepare one notes. See, until I got hold of Brother Lonnie's tapes. When I saw what he's doing, I said, praise the Lord, there is someone like... You know, you feel happy when you see something, you know, same what you're doing. Because when you're doing something that, you cannot see it in everywhere, it seems like something like funny, you know. Praise God. And really... I'm having a hard time, but when I see that, since that, you know, I respect Brother Lonnie highly. He influenced my ministry greatly. See, praise God. See, he actually, I always said it to the people, he's my mentor. Praise God. So every time I send my mission report to Brother Lonnie, and he just replied, said, well done, Brother Nestor. You know, I feel very happy. That's all I need to hear. Well done, Brother Nessa. Praise the Lord. Praise God. See? Hallelujah. See? So, and God, you know, opened up so many doors. And now this morning, I just want to present to you something like an accomplishment report. Okay? Since I come here, this church, praise God, the major part of my mission trip, this church helped me. Okay, praise God. I never dreamed that, you know. I never thought that this church will get the burden of what I am doing. See, like I told you, when I go out to mission, praise God, I go with or without. When the Lord put the burden in my heart, I'll just go. Praise God. See, I don't know how it will fulfill. The only thing I just want to... I share the gospel. I just want to find the last predestinated seed. That's all in my heart. Praise God. So when I go to one place, I'm just happy I'm there. Praise God. And nothing more. Praise the Lord. See? So within these 2 years, I think this is my fourth year to come here. See, the first year I was here. The second year, praise God, then brother... this church now been very supportive. And last year when I was here, I remember when I presented that needs for the mission for the church in Mindanao. Praise the Lord. And I just want, I know Brother Jim already showed all of you what I am doing. Praise God. but I just want just to refresh to you. Okay? Hallelujah. So, you know, I still feel nervous. That's why I cannot get my wording together. I hope you will forgive me, okay? And my English, I'm not good in English. I just try my best. Praise the Lord. So this is the church that we are started after we passed the offering here. And the land was donated by the inmates. And then we built now the church there. That is, actually, we start late in building that church because of the permits of the government giving us a hard time. Praise God. I think after 5 months or 4 months, that's where we started. So there it is. That's Brother Sammy Durano. He's pastoring the church now. Praise God. See? And then, you know, the roofing, and that's the outside finish, and that's the inside. Praise God. Hallelujah. And that will not happen. You know, brother and sister, it will not happen without you, okay? I want to remind you. Praise God. And here's another one. See, this church was, you know, during the typhoon, their church was devastated or destroyed by typhoon. And then they relocate, see? So we helped them also with the trophy. When I come there, I saw that. And then you see it's a dirt floor, no walls. Imagine. Praise the Lord. That's why I told you, brother and sister, here in America, you're really very, very blessed. See? No walls, and it's a dirt floor. And then that's the song leader and the pastor. The song leader is a blind man. Praise God. But he got a nice voice. And then when we help them, you see, now the floor is concrete. And then they start building put some walls in it. Okay? And that is in Botolan, in Santa Cruz, Zambales. And this is one in Pangasinan. The church was also destroyed by the typhoon. See, he first, this is Brother Angelo. He's an Amerasia. See, his father is an American, abandoned him. He was supposed to have the right, the privilege to come here. But he did not accept it. He said, I want to stay here. And you know, this brother is going into the forest, into the mountain, sharing the gospel. See, when Brother Chad and myself, when we were there, he said, we have a Bible study on the other side of the mountain. I said, my, praise God. See, and now this is it, okay? It's not yet finished, but I know by the grace of God, everything will be taken care of. And then during the typhoon, see, this is one of the sisters. I know you know it. Praise God. See, this is what happened in the Philippines. And then you are also there. See, we send some fund, you know, and distribute rice. See, and then canned goods, see, to help the believer. Praise God. You are there. Praise the Lord. See, and then, you know, the flood stayed in the Philippines for so long time, 2 months, and then we have this another problem, the leptospirosis. See, and the medicine is running out. And it's good that we have one brother that works in a pharmaceutical, so we asked him to reserve the medicine for the brethren, and we did it. Praise God. We gave him the money, and he buy the medicine. Praise God. Hallelujah. And now, here is the, you know, all these things that I'm showing to you, you know, you have a major part on it. Praise the Lord. See, this is the mystery expo that we are doing in Botolan, Zambales. See? And that is the fruits of the mystery expo. Praise God. See? And now only, I did not put it there, you know, last month, before I come here, so we hold another mystery expo in that place also. And the two Korean missionaries, they attended the meeting. See, they are the Presbyterian Church. So they attended the meeting. And after the meeting, so they went to their home church in somewhere in Subic. Praise God. Then while I was here, I received an email. See, my deacons told me that the two Korean missionaries, They want us to hold a mystery expo. See, these two Korean missionary. See, praise God. See, he said, once I come back home on July, I'll be leaving on 27 next Tuesday, this coming Tuesday. So I will be home on 29. So supposed to be there will, they want me to hold the mystery expo on 30 to, and 31. Praise God. I said, it's too hard, you know. I still have that jet lag. Praise God. You know, every last night of the trip, I cannot sleep anymore. You know, excited. Then you fly more than 10 hours, 12 hours. Praise God. See? So it's good that their mother church in Korea asked them to go back. You know, they have an emergency. They need to go back to Korea. And they said they move it on September. See? Praise God. They want to hear. They said, they are requesting the subject of the serpent seed. See? Praise God. So you pray for it. You know, we don't know what will happen. The best thing, we can share it to them. If they receive it or not, that is not our problem. Okay? See? Praise God. We are just doing what we need to do. Preach the gospel. That's all. Praise God. See, now in foreign field, in Indonesia, see, we went there. Praise God. See, you know, before in Indonesia, there are only three churches, message churches. But when we went there, praise God, we hold this meeting with the denominational people, and now we have more than 20 churches. See? Praise God. And that three churches now are very busy following up. You know, the success of the Mystery Expo seminar, you know, is when the local church, you know, if they support the meeting, see? I mean, if they keep on following it up, praise God. That's now it's now growing. And now this coming September, again, we have, you know, like I say, if we will not just stop, you know, we have too many open doors. I just thank the Lord. See? That's why I come here. To rest, to have a vacation, you know. Like the prophet said, the pastor is eligible for 1 month vacation. That's why I'm here for 1 month. Praise God. Hallelujah. And here, I like here, brother. I tell you, I like here. You know, I know my wife is watching me tonight, at night there and morning here. Praise God. See, my family. Praise the Lord. See, so I really like here in the state. Everything here is nice, you know. Praise the Lord. See, I'm sleeping in a nice bed, riding in a nice truck, car, and you know, and my stomach never went empty. They keep on refilling it. Hallelujah. So I told my wife, you know, Lord willing, maybe one day God will be gracious to us. I want you to come here in the state. See? Praise God. Hallelujah. See? So this church in Indonesia now is growing. So next month, on September, we're going to hold, you know, in one of the in Kalimantan Island. Praise God. That is near Borneo, near Malaysia. See? Praise God. And so you pray for it. And then in Myanmar, see, this is where we were too, Brother Chad and myself, you know. See, so they really hunger for the word. See? So when we went there, you know, the pastor talked to me. He said, Brother Nestor, why it is like this? I've been telling to the people about the holiness, you know, sanctified life. I said, Brother, you know, the message of Luther, the justification message is good for Luther. Okay, the sanctification message is good in the age of Wesley, the Pentecostal message. But we have a message today. You gave them the adoption message, and the adoption message will produce the fruit of justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. See? Praise God, because there is one sister that come from China that went in Burma to work. See, while he was there, he's attending the church, the government church in China. See? So now when she saw all these things that happening around the world, she said, "My, the Lord surely will come." See? In fast, he said, "So I don't want to miss the rapture." That is the only thing that's in her heart. He said, I don't want to miss the rapture. See, Lord, he said, "Lord, help me." See? So he went to his computer, you know, and typed rapture and something like that. And the computer gave him the 7 weeks of Daniel. See? I said, "What is this?" You know? He wants to be in the rapture. And the Lord is, you know, guiding her in that kind of 7 weeks of Daniel, seven seals. He said, "Then William Marion Branham, who is this?" See? Praise God. So he got that link. And then he got in touch with the believer in China. And then, you know, he got that message in the internet. And he downloaded all the message. He downloaded all the message in her computer. And she keep on reading that. Imagine. He is a Chinese and he is in Myanmar. She's working there. No fellowship with any believer there. She don't know anybody. See? While reading it, you know, about sanctified life, she said, "Oh, so the woman must not wear a men's apparel." So he went to the market and he tried to buy a skirt. But it's too short. He said, "It's short. What shall I do?" Then he went back, you know, he buy two skirt. He cut it. And then he sew it. See, nobody is teaching her. Okay? See? That's why I told to that brother, I said, "See, just give them the adoption message. Praise God. And all this food will come out." See, because if after 15 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, you keep on telling to the people you need a sanctified life, the people has problem. See, praise God. Hallelujah. So the message is different. See, so now when we were there, we try to encourage, you know, it's always in my heart. He said, "You need just to revive the pastor, the minister. If the pastor got revived, the minister got revived, the congregation will be revived." Amen. See, if the congregation will be revived, the community will be revived. See, everybody now wants to go out and share the gospel. See, because if the pastor is lonely, is sad, the congregation is also sad. See, and everything is sad. Nobody wants to go out. Everybody has a long face. See, praise the Lord. See, that's why I just want to be, I always say, I just want to be a blessing to everybody. So that's Brother Chad. Hallelujah. So in China, see, this is our brethren in China. Praise the Lord. See, they need to, you know, please pray for them. Many good things happening in China, but, you know, the government are, see, because most of the churches are marked in China. See, so it's very hard to move. Okay, praise the Lord. And here in India, this is my the last trip before I come here. See, so if you will notice, that is a Methodist church. And we hold the seminar inside the church. Praise God. See, and only 6 pastors come to the meeting. See, you know, When God, you know, give me that burden. Actually, the brother in India keep on inviting me. I said, "Lord, what will I do there? There are more than 3,000 message church in India. If Philippines, we have more than 500. India have more than 3,000. See, what am I going to do there?" And you know, the Indian brother, they are also good minister. See? But the Lord, you know, take me in that place in Tanakpur where there is no message church. Amen. And these people never heard the message. Amen. So I shared to them the message. And you know, that one pastor, see? So after the service, after the seminar, he said, you know, pastor, he approached me. I'm so sad. Why only six pastors come? And he looked at me and said, you know, pastor, you are not supposed to teach the congregation. You are supposed teaching the pastor, not the congregation, because the message that you're sharing to us is for the minister, not for the congregation. Then he told me, if you want, I will organize, I will arrange. See, a seminar for you. Remember, I never told that we are doing it in the Philippines. I never share it to them. So he just approached me and tell me that. See, I can arrange a meeting for you. 50, 100, 200 ministers if you want. He can speak 8 dialects. See, we can arrange one in Nepal and we can arrange one in India. So I just tell him, okay, go ahead, just do it. And now we're doing it. I'll be going there on August 24. Praise God. This coming month. So pray for me. Praise the Lord. See? So, hallelujah. So those were the happenings, you know. And like I told you, I show it to you. I will never be in that place. Those things will not happen. Though, I mean, these things, you know, like I told you, with or without, I go. But I just thank the Lord, you know, God touch your heart. It make it easier. Okay? It make it easier for me. Praise the Lord. See? We go on mission, you know, before with my wife, I'm going to Cambodia, go to Thailand, go to Myanmar. He said, are you going there again? I said, yes. He said, why not just go to America? Because every time I go there, when I come back home, you know, it's zero. Praise God. Those are very poor country also. Praise God. See? And, you know, and I'm just happy that the Lord gave me that kind of wife and family. They are willing to sacrifice for the mission field. See, you know, in the early age of my ministry, in my mission field, see, my family even, you know, see, they even sacrifice the food on the table. Praise God. That's how we do, how we, you know, operate in the mission field. And I just thank the Lord, you know. Praise God. He's so gracious to me. We have established around in the Philippines more than a dozen church from the scratch. Praise God. We pioneer, and then it was established as a church. Praise God. And I cannot say anything anymore about, you know, the goodness of the Lord. I always consider this as a privilege. Every time that we have the opportunity to do something to the Lord, I always consider it as a privilege. See? If the Lord, you know, praise God, give us the burden to help the mission field, I can always say that is only a privilege. See? Praise God. Not all the people are giving that kind of privilege. See? Hallelujah. That's why when the Lord called me in the ministry, I always said to my heart, even to my wife, you know, if I die, and I have a lot of money in the bank, I said, I will not feel good if I know there are many needs outside. See? And the Lord, you know, and one thing, you know, many people don't believe that I don't have the money, okay? See? Only the bank know it. Because how can you go to this country? By the grace of God, see, I've been to Africa, I've been to India, I've been to the States, I've been all around Asia. Praise God. I never dreamed that, you know. Praise the Lord. See, that's why I said, Lord, as long as I can help the people, see, I'm happy. Amen. See, because I want to be at the part of, you know, helping the people rather than to be helped. Praise God. See, I never ask one time for my family. See, everything is for the ministry. Praise God. Because when I come into the ministry, I told to the Lord, Lord, if you want me to preach, teach me. And Lord, support me. If my wife complained, I said, Lord, I will step down. I will work. See? But since then, up to now, the Lord, you know, supplies all my needs. See? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So please pray for this Indian meeting. So we're going to have a missionary trip in India on the month of August. Then on the month of September in Indonesia. Praise God. See? So that's all for this mission field. Amen. So now, I want to speak about the subject of the generation of Jesus Christ. Can we all stand up for the reading of the scripture? Yeah, this is only one verse. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Let's bow our head for a prayer. Lord God, we thank you for your presence, Lord Jesus. I ask your Lord God, your guidance. Help me, Lord Jesus. Use me as your channel of blessing to my brethren here. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. You all may be seated. See? Now, again, before I go on, if I say something, do you think not in accordance with your pastor, you must always stick to your pastor, okay? Just charge it to my ignorance. Okay? Can you do that? You know? That's why I feel nervous, you know. Praise God. See? So always stick to your pastor. And just while I'm going on, just pray for me also. Amen? See? So now, if you will notice, you know, this message that we are having, you know, it's praise God. See? Is to take away the fear in our heart. Okay? We have a message, a certain message that full of grace. Not only full of grace, but double grace. Right? You know it. Praise the Lord. See? So that's why, because we cannot approach God with fear in our heart. See? So that's why God is trying to take that fear out of our heart so we can approach Him in boldness. See? That's why we have this message, Shalom. You know? See? Shalom is peace. That is the peace of God. See? It's different kind of peace. See? It is like a boy. You know? Let's say you take your son to a mall. You know? Let's say there's a lot of people there. And you take your son there. And then your son got lost. See? And that boy surely, he will be nervous. He will be afraid. See? And he will cry. Then, you know, maybe in that market or in the mall, there are many fathers, right? See, they will approach the boy and say, okay, boy, don't worry. I'll give you candies. See? I'll give you car. I mean, I give you candies. give you toys. See? Don't cry. But there is still fear in the heart of that boy. See? Though there are many fathers try to pacify him, that boy is still afraid. See? But then, maybe somebody will touch his shoulder. And he knows that touch. That is the father's touch. See? Suddenly, peace will come in his heart. That is the peace that the Lord is trying to give us. Amen. See? That's why we have this message, Shalom. Praise God. Hallelujah. See? So this message is full of grace, okay? And if you will notice, the Old Testament and the New Testament begin with the generation. Right? Matthew chapter 1 verse 1, it says, the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Then if you open the book of Genesis, it says in chapter 2, this is the generation of heaven and earth. So both books start with the generation. See? And like the prophet said, in the beginning, God.
Yes.
See? And the Bible starts with God.
Yes.
See? And then we know in the beginning, God used the name Elohim. See? He is not, he potentially, Elohim is God. But he is not yet God until somebody worship him.
Amen.
See? That's why the denomination, he said, now you see, there are three gods. Because the word Elohim is plural written form of Eloah. See? But they cannot understand why the meaning of Elohim is singular. But it was written in plural form. See? Until in our age, God sent us a prophet. See? So He revealed or he exposed the meaning of the word. Right? Even the dot. Even the period. Praise God. See? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Period. And then the prophet, he said, you know, that period is million or billions of years away. See? He said, that is where the dinosaur is. Praise God. Hallelujah. See? So he revealed the word, even the word justification. See? Luther got that revelation, said justification. The just shall live by faith. But then the prophet revealed the real word of the real meaning of justification. He said, it seems like you have not done it in the first place. You're justified. See? Hallelujah. Then he revealed the meaning of Elohim. He said, the all-sufficient one. See? Hallelujah. You know, it means that if we have Elohim, we have everything. Okay? Praise God. Elohim, he is the God, right? And he is also the angel. The mighty angel, Revelation 10:1. Right? And he is also the planets, the bright and morning star. Right? And he's also the nature, the rock of my salvation. And he's also the tree of life. And he's also the flowers, the lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon. And he's also the animals, the lamb, the lion of the tribe of Judah. And he's also the bird, the dove, and the eagle. And he's also the man, Jesus Christ. See? So if we have Elohim, we have everything. Hallelujah. See? Praise God. That's why they cannot understand it. See? Hallelujah. But then God revealed it to us. See? So now Elohim wants to be God. See? And we know the meaning of God. God, the meaning of God is an object of divine worship. If there is nobody who will worship him, he cannot be God, but potentially he's God. Okay? Praise God. Hallelujah. That's why he created the angel. See? So every time you come to the church, if you wash your clothes, you know, do some of these house chores, see? Then you come to the church, you're already tired. So you will just sit there and sleep. Right? Why? Because you already worship your God. See? Anything that you put between you and God become your God. See?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So like I always said, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. When you come to church, don't put anything in between you and God.
Yes.
Praise God. Come here fresh. Amen? Hallelujah.
Amen.
See?
Amen.
Then God wants to be God. Elohim wants to be God. So he created the angel. When he created the angel worshiped him. That's why the angel keep on singing glory. Glory, glory unto the Lord. See? But then, God wants to be a father. See? He cannot be a father without a son. Right? See? Like a woman, even if you are married for 20 years, if you have no child, can you be called a mother? No. Then even if you have no husband, if you have a child, what they will call you? They will call you single mother. See? Praise God. So God cannot become a father without a son. See? Praise God. So He created Adam. See? So when God created Adam, remember, God names all the names in heaven. See? But He only give name, one name on earth. That's Adam. And God never give name anymore. It's Adam who gave names to everything. See? And if Adam give names, he always only gave one name to all. See? Because the name is the manifestation of the life. That's why, you know, when I said, hey, brother and sister, there is lion outside the church. Don't go out. Though you cannot see the lion, you know the life behind that name. Right? If the lion saw you, see you, what the lion will do? He will eat you. Because that is the life in that name. Okay? Praise God. And if Adam give name, he only give names. One name to, you know, when he said lion, all lion names, lion, right? There is no Leonardo, Leone, or Leona, no. See? And there is no such thing as good lion, or bad lion, or poor lion, or rich lion. All lions are the same. They will manifest only one kind of life. That if the lion saw you, you can, oh, you're a good lion. He just eat you. whether you know it or not, that is the life in the lion. Okay? Praise God. See? So Adam names all on the earth. See? But then one day, you know, Adam got lonely. See? And Michael noticed it. So he said to Gabriel, hey, Gabriel, Mike, Adam is lonely. Tell it to his father. See? Yeah. So Gabriel went to the father. He said, Lord, your son is lonely. So the father said, okay, bring more angels with you and play with my son. See? So Gabriel, bring more angels. And then, Adam's still lonely. See? So, Gabriel said, Michael, okay, Michael, now it's your turn. You go tell the father. So Michael went to the father. He said, Lord, your son is still lonely. Said the father, said, okay, I will go down. Amen. I'll go to my son in the coolness of the day. And the prophet said, that is 6 o'clock. Yes. Okay? That's why there is something about 6 o'clock in the coolness of the day. See? Look, why the office, all the office in whole the world, in whole world, they will stop at 5 o'clock. See? Why not 6? Why not 7? Why not 8? But most of the office, they will stop at 5 o'clock. See? Because there is something about 6 o'clock. That is the time for fellowship. See? If you have a right atmosphere at your house, the husband wants to come home. The wife wants to come home. The children wants to come home. Okay? If you have the right atmosphere. See? If you don't have the right atmosphere, the husband will fellowship somewhere else. See? Just have the right atmosphere and everybody will wants to go home. Because there is something about the coolness of the day. Praise God. Hallelujah. See? So everybody wants to come home. So the father now come down. He said, okay. He said, he talked to his son, Adam. Okay, don't worry, my son. See? Sleep. So Adam slept. See? And the angel was surprised. He said, Adam, sleep. What happened? What's happening? See? Then the eagle and the dove was also surprised. Everybody was surprised. And then Gabriel asked Michael, "Michael, what's happening?" He said, "I don't know." Then the eagle asked the dove, he said, "Dove, what's happening?" The dove said, "I don't know." Then the lion asked the lamb, he said, "Lamb, what's happening?" He said, "I don't know." Then Gabriel said, Michael said, "Shh, quiet. Nobody knows what's happening. Even the angel. Only the Father." See? Nobody knows. And there's a complete silence in heaven. I mean, in the garden. See? Okay? There's a complete silence in the garden. Nobody knows. Even the angels. Except the Father. See? Remember, everything that you can see in Revelation is in Genesis. Okay? Praise God. Something mystery is unfolding. Nobody knows except the Father. Now there are total silence. I don't know how long, okay? Maybe 1 hour, half an hour, or 15 minutes. See? I don't know. But there is a total silence. And even the angel cannot, you know. Then suddenly, something appeared. Then Michael asked Gabriel, "Gabriel, what is that?" Gabriel said, "I don't know." Then the lamb asked the lion, he said, "Lion, what is that?" "I don't know either." Then the dove asked the angel, he said, "Eagle, what is that?" "I don't know." Nobody can name her, even the angel. Then, when Adam wake up, Adam jumped and said, "Woman, only the Son can name her. Woman, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh." Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
See? Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Okay? Hallelujah. See? And we know what happened. The serpent, I'm watching the clock here. It's good. It's big, you know. Excuse me. Even the glass is heavy. Everything here is hallelujah. See? You know, I enjoy, actually, I keep on telling it to the people. I enjoy here in the state. I like America. Period. Okay? See? See? So now, you know, we know what happened, right? See? The serpent deceived Eve. So we know what happened in the Garden of Eden. I will not go into that, okay? Praise God. See? So the woman fell in sin. When Adam saw it, you know, like the prophet said, God can make another Eve. He can create another Eve, you know? Adam can say, "Lord, anyway, I still have many ribs. Take one more here. So it will be balanced." But Adam so loved Eve, you know? Yes, right. So loved the woman.
Yes. Yes.
See? That he needs to do something so that God will not going to destroy her. If he will not do anything, God will going to annihilate the woman.
Yes.
So he need to put something that's in to her. See? That's why Adam put something in her
that so that God cannot kill him.
Amen.
That's why the scripture is very clear. The woman will be saved by child bearing. See? Adam put his seed in her. So that
Amen.
God will not destroy her.
Amen.
See? So when the father saw it, he came to his family. He said, "My son, what have you done?" He said, "I'm sorry, father. I love my wife." Then he go to the woman. He said, "What have you done? I was deceived. Okay? I cannot fellowship with you anymore." So God turned his back. And he moved away. He moved away from eternity to eternity. So when God turned his back, the woman started to cry. He said, "Adam, Adam, what have I done? What will going to happen to us now?" Then Adam, you know, take Eve in his strong arms, and then he hugged her.
Yes.
He embraced her.
Yes.
He said, "Don't worry, my love, my sweetheart. I will never leave you
yes.
nor forsake you."
Hallelujah.
See?
Praise
then,
the
look, yonder, he said, "I see Adam and Eve, that first little sweethearts, there in the Garden of Eden. I see Adam back there. When he put his arms around his little sweetheart to walk out with her, for God had condemned them, and he started out with his arms around his darling." Adam was not deceived. He didn't have to walk out, but he walked out because he loved his wife. He walked out with both eyes wide open. No matter if she had to go to torment, he'll go with her. Then that love, see, when God looked down and seen that love of a human being, it was so great that he could not stand it himself. It's only a phileo love, but the prophet said it was so great that God cannot leave them alone. When God heard that, when Adam said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you," suddenly God, you know, he's living from eternity to eternity. Suddenly, he stopped. He cannot move any further. He said, so he turned his back again. See? And he said, "I'll come and go too."
Hallelujah.
"I'll come and go too." Then he called his children again. He said, "Come here, my son. Come here. You know what have you done?" "Yes, father. From this time on, you need to work, to eat." See? Then he called the woman. "Okay, my daughter, come here. You know, what have you done?" "Yes, father. Now you will give birth in pain." Then he called the serpent. "Serpent, come here. What have you done to my children? Now you will crawl in all the days of your life, and thus you shall eat." Then he go to the woman again and said, "You know why I cannot destroy you? Adam gave you a seed.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
But I promise you, I'll give you a seed."
Yes.
Adam's seed cannot redeem you, but I'll give you a seed
yes.
to redeem you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
See? And then said, "Now, I need to drop you out of the garden, because if you extend your hand to the tree of life, you will not die.
Hallelujah.
You will live eternally. Do you want to live eternally?"
Yes.
"In that condition, do you want to live eternally?" You know, if God only wants you to live eternally, he should have not drove man out of the garden. And everybody will live eternally, right? Nobody will die. Do you like it? See? Look, imagine it. If the sister, you make a mistake, you married an irresponsible man who doing nothing but to drink, gamble, and the sister go out and work. When she come back,
The man will ask, give me some money. I want to drink. I want to gamble. Then if she has nothing to give, he will hit her, kick her. The day of her life, eternally. Do you want that kind of life? What will the sister, what will she do? She will pray, right? She will pray, Lord, kill me. See? That's why even death is a grace of God. See? Even death is a grace of God. All is grace. You know? When you see people hurt, turn gray, our skin wrinkles, when you see the hospital, when you see the cemetery, you know what is that? That is the love of Adam to Eve. Everything is love and grace.
Yes.
See? If you see the cemetery and you say, oh, how Adam loved the woman.
Amen.
See? That's why I told you this message is full of grace. The only thing that I can see here is grace, love, grace, love.
Yes.
See, nothing else, even that is grace.
Amen.
See? Imagine if we all live eternally, and then you're a good man and your neighbor is a bad man. Every time you go out of your door, he will throw, you know, stone to you, or sometimes he'll kick you, or sometimes play a loud music that you cannot sleep and you will not die. Hallelujah. What kind of life is that? See, that's why you will say, Lord, thank you, we are dying. But the Lord promised anyway. The Lord promised, right? Praise God. He will take us to a new kind of life.
Amen.
See? Praise the Lord. See? Remember, after the fall, before it is the man who gives names to everybody. And if the man gives names, he only gives one name. But after the fall, now it is the woman who named names. Then if the woman gives names, she always gives many names. See? And each name will manifest different kind of life. Right? When you said, oh, the Jenkins family, they are very detailed, very smart. The Crook family, oh, you always look high on them. You know, yesterday I see Brother Steve Hullinger. How do you pronounce that? I keep on looking at him. You know, I said, I know this brother, but I cannot, if when you go to the Philippines, sometimes most of, when you look at the Asian people, they are almost look the same, okay? So they say, when I come here, you know, sometimes when I look at you, sometimes everybody looks the same. I said, I know him, you know, and I don't want to make a mistake. Then when he stand up, oh, he stand out. Oh, I know him, yeah. Praise God. See? God bless you, Brother Steve. Yeah. Hallelujah. See? So now each name will manifest. That's why, you know, praise God, will manifest different kind of life. See, when you said, the Jenkins family, oh, they are all detailed and very smart. And then this Crooks family, oh, they are tall people. And you said, Española family, that's me. Oh, they are handsome, okay? That's I'm just kidding, okay? See? So now each family name will manifest different kind of life. See? So after the fall, now they manifest different kind of life, and it becomes so different from each other that the life become a mystery.
Amen.
See? Life become a mystery, and God put it inside the tree of life and she seal it.
Amen.
I don't know how many seals, okay? Maybe one, five, or seven, okay? See?
So life becomes a mystery. Unless that seal is broken, life will be a mystery. See? That's why God sent us a prophet. And the prophet has three stages in his ministry. See? Hallelujah. Malachi chapter 4, verse 6, it says, and the heart of the children to the father, see, that is, you know, the ministry of Malachi can only identify the seed. Right? He said, serpent seed, denominational seed, Jezebel seed, Nicolaitan seed, all the seed, he identified it all. But he cannot identify the life. See? Until the ministry of the seven angels, hallelujah, he identified all the life. Amen. That's in the seed. Right. See? That's why now he said, Satan's, he said now, you know, Satan's now hiding in the church. When he said that, oh my goodness, the denominational church closed their door. See? Because he identified the life that in there. See? And then, Luke 17:30, hallelujah, the Son of Man ministry, the prophet manifested the life that's in the seed. First, he identified it. First, he identified the seed. Then he identified the life in the seed. Then he manifested that life. When he manifested that life, it was so close that some people think that he is. Okay? Because of the ministry. See? Hallelujah. Now we're going to start. That's why I kept looking. Anyway, brother, they told me. Yeah, without limit, okay? See? Now, we're going to start, okay? Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, it says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. See? If you will notice, the generation of Jesus Christ start with Abraham. See? And in Matthew 1, verse 17, it says, so all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David until the carrying away into the Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into the Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. So it says here, from Abraham to David, there are 14 generations. From David to the carrying away to Babylon is 14 generations. See? From Babylon, the Lord Jesus Christ, it should be 14 generations. But if you will count it, it's only 13 generations. See? So there is one generation missing. And one name is missing. See? Praise God. Yes. Hallelujah. And we know in the beginning, see, now, even Isaiah asked it, who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. He said, how can he have a generation? If he was cut out of the living, it means they kill him. How can he have a generation? The Bible is very, very clear. It must be 14 generations. How can that happen? See? But then, Isaiah also said, he shall see his seed. God promised it. He shall see his seed.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
See? How can we have this 14th generation? Now, see? Here is Eve, here is Adam, and here is the serpent. We know what happened. Okay? Praise God. So we have this Cain, the line of the serpent. And then we have Abel. And we know Cain killed Abel and God replaced him with Seth. See? Until the time of Noah. Okay. See? The generation of Christ, you know, did not start
with Noah. It says, the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So I told you, the generation of Jesus Christ is start with Abraham. See? Praise God. Then, in the beginning, the birthright was passed naturally. Okay? Praise God. See? Because of the blood. The blood carries the life, carries all the characteristics of the Father. See? Praise God. That's why, see, the blood just passed on to the firstborn. That's why the firstborn get the name of the Father. They have no family name. See? It only said, Adam, the son of God. Seth, the son of Adam. On and on. See? The firstborn will only receive the name of the Father. Only the firstborn. See? Praise God. Hallelujah. Until Noah's time. But in the time of Noah, something happened. Remember, see, by one man, we all die. But one man again, we live. Okay? So everything is by representation. We have not sinned, but there is one man that sinned that represented us all because he is the firstborn. Right? So the same thing with Noah, he is the firstborn. The son of man, the son of God, you know, they got daughters from the children of man. See? Praise God. When that happened, God got angry. See? When God got angry for 10 generations. From Noah to Abraham, God never deal with them for 10 generations. See? And the Bible said, a bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his 10th generation. See? Praise God. Something happened there. That's why the Bible said, Noah found grace. Okay? Praise the Lord. See? So now, Isaiah is keep on asking, how can he have a generation? They cut him off from the living. See? Praise the Lord. That's why when, you know, look, when God created the heaven and the earth, see? When God created the water, God created the tree, God created the animal, God said, good. Right? See? But when God created man, he said, very good. See? Why did God say it's good? See? And the Bible is very clear. It said, and God saw it was good. The Bible did not say, and God say it was good. Okay? And God saw it was good. See? Because they manifest the life that is in the mind of God. Every time you manifest the life that is in the mind of God, and God saw it was good. See? That's why when Adam manifested that life of God on earth, so he commissioned Adam, he said, multiply and replenish the earth. So Adam was supposed to replenish or multiply that life on this earth. Yes. Right? But Adam's failed. See? But in the lineage of Adam, there is one person that walked with God. He walked with God. He manifested that life. And Enoch walked with God and found not. Amen. Now his son Methuselah, he saw the life of his father. He saw what happened to his father. He tried to follow the footsteps of his father Enoch. He almost got it. That's why he lived the longest life. 969 years. See? Hallelujah. Praise God. Look. See? Now, that's why before the birthright was passed naturally. From Adam to Noah, the blood is pure. The blood carried the lives. See? So that the birthright was passed on naturally. But after the flood, look, who is the wife of Abraham? Sarah. Right? Who is the firstborn of Abraham? Ishmael. Right? Who got the birthright? Isaac. What is the condition of Sarah? Barren. Right? See? Who is the wife of Isaac? Rachel. Right? Who is the firstborn of Isaac? Esau. Who got the birthright? Are you following me? Praise God. See? Who got the birthright? Jacob. Right? Who is the wife of Jacob? Rebecca. Right? And who is the firstborn of Jacob? Reuben. But who got the birthright? Judah. See? And what is the condition of Sarah? She's barren. What is the condition of Rachel? She's barren. What is the condition of Rebecca? She's barren. Barren, barren, barren. God is trying to show us something there. From that time on, birthright now is by grace. It's God's choosing. Amen. Not by blood anymore, because something happened to the blood. See? Praise God. That's why when Jesus came here, see, in John 3:7, he introduced, he said, "Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." See? Now Jesus is introducing another kind of birth. Yes, that's right. Hallelujah. Yes, that's right. See? Now, look. You know the Great Commission, right? See? You know the Great Commission of Adam? It says, God bless them. And he said, "Go ye, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth." But Adam failed. Then Noah's come, and God blessed Noah, and again he said, "Go ye, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth." And what is our commission? Go ye into all the world, multiply, and replenish the earth. So we have the same commission from Adam, from Noah, unto our age.
Amen.
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 See?
That's right.
Hallelujah.
That's
why Peter saw it. He showed it. He said, being born again. How will this thing happen? See, being born again, not of the corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. See, how will this happen? How are we going to multiply? Not by the will of man, nor the will of the flesh, but by the will of God. But by the word of God. That's why you need to reproduce. You need to replenish. We need to multiply. That's why the prophet said, the first obligation first. Hallelujah. Remember this. See? That is our main purpose. When God called you, you must multiply. See? That's why the prophet said, hallelujah, if you go on mission, you are always in the will of God. See? Hallelujah. See? But Adam failed. Praise God. And then, Peter said, now, he says here, but ye are a chosen generation. See, this is the 14th generation. And the Bible called them the chosen generation. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Now, see, you know, if you are born in Ohio, where will be your birth certificate? Definitely not in Hawaii, right? It must be in Ohio. You are born here. See? So if you are born in heaven, our birth certificate must be in heaven. Right? See, that's why Paul said, to the general assembly in the church of the firstborn, which are, where's your birth certificate? Written in heaven. Amen. See, we also have a birth certificate. And it was written in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Now, I'm almost close. See, the problem now is the name. Okay? The problem now is the name. Because there is no higher name than the name Jesus Christ. Right? And we cannot inherit that name in the sonship relationship. See? That's why Adam cannot inherit the name. Jesus inherit the name, right? Why did Adam cannot inherit the name? Because his blood come from the earth. That's why he was called Adam. Adam means red earth. Yes. That's why this earth is his. Right. Praise God. Yes. So no way we can inherit the name. See? That's why I said this is a great mystery. Yes. That even the angel do not know. Okay? Yesterday, we have this wedding, okay? You know, I just want to give a piece of my mind, okay? God did not institute divorce. Okay? Divorce never comes from God. Don't make it an option because I'm sad, you know. It's a message. See? God allows it. That's why we call it permissive will. Even the Pharisee, they said, how come that Moses gave them? Because of the hardness of their heart. See? The man cannot forgive. The solution in adultery is forgiveness. That's why the prophet said, the only way you can divorce is fornication and death. You can remarry, but okay. Then, that's why the prophet said it's a misinterpreted theology. Yes, sir. First, it is the hardness of the heart. Then it become a misinterpreted theology. Then when it's go on and become a fad, you know, and it become a modern condition.
Yes, sir.
See? That's why he said, don't do it. Right? Don't do it. Don't be that an option. Don't ever, ever make that an option. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
See? Because that relationship is a mystery.
Yes,
you know?
It
it's a great mystery. And it's only revealed to the bride. We cannot inherit the name through sonship. But there is one kind of relationship, even if you don't have the blood. Even if you don't have the blood, you can able to inherit the name. See? And what is that kind of relationship? Through marriage. See? That's why, you know, the apostles cannot name her. They called her the elect. They called her the saints. They called her without blemish, without wrinkles, without spot. But they cannot name her until our age.
Amen.
See? That's why in our age a prophet came. He said, I will not call you bride anymore. But here is the 14th generation, the chosen generation. And she will be called Mrs. Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Again. Can we all stand up again? Can we all stand up? The man will be the one who will give the name. If the man will give the name, he will always give one name.
Amen.
If the woman will give a name, she always give so many names. Right? What's your name? I'm Miss Baptist. I'm Miss Catholic. I'm Miss Presbyterian. But what is your name? Mrs. Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Hallelujah.
Why? We only have one name. Why? Because we will going to manifest only one kind of life.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. Can I ask the musicians? Let's sing that song, Amazing Grace. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. See? Again, I want to thank the pastor, Brother Jeff, for letting me. You know, I always said, it's only a miracle every time I stand behind the pulpit of some other pastor. And I really very grateful, you know. Praise God. And I always just want to be a blessing to you. Praise the Lord. And I always, you know, can you promise me, brother and sister, see, if I will not see you again here, I want to see you up there.
Amen.
Okay?
And
I want you to promise me that nobody will be left behind.
Amen.
Okay? I don't want anybody to be left behind.
That's right.
Right? See? Praise God. Amen. I want you to, you know, your whole family, the husband, the wife, praise God. See, if we have some brother and sister here that was not here, praise God. See, promise me you will pray for them. Okay?
Amen.
Praise God. You will say, Lord, we want every one of us will meet you on the earth.
Amen.
See, can you promise me that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Hallelujah. This is only the amazing grace of God. Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was found, but now I'll see.
Let's praise the Lord. Praise God, praise God, praise God,
praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God.
When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we know less days to see God's praise than when we first begun. Praise God, praise God, oh praise God, 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 yes, praise God. Praise God, praise God.
Oh my, I tell you. I'm just absolutely thrilled. I'm telling you, you know, when he got done with the mission report, I thought, okay, you know, another half hour and he'll be done. You know, typical pastor thinking, you know. Then as he got into his subject matter, I said, don't stop at a half hour. I mean, I could have gone on for hours and hours. I could have skipped lunch and dinner. I tell you, you know, and I was thinking of the miracle of God taking Brother Nestor from the Philippines. I'm so glad that he obeyed God and didn't remain an engineer, Brother Steve, or, you know, Brother Jim, you know, that he was able to follow the call of God and to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And just so many things that were always there in your Bible that you didn't know, and I heard some brand new stuff today, 10 generations, and then how that God at some point no longer took the firstborn and said, I give you the birthright. 3 generations in a row, they didn't get the birthright. It was because the blood was polluted. So after that, it was the sovereign election of God. Amen. And so, I mean, and so we are the sovereign election of God. And a prophet comes along and it says he slipped on your finger the unmerited grace, the wedding band of unmerited grace. Slipped it on your finger and he called you and I, Mrs. Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Mrs. Jesus. I tell you, the light keep blinking. We'll have service as long as the lights stay on. How's that, Brother Nestor? Sure. I just appreciated that immensely. Brother Franco, are you up there? Can you come down here and tell us a little bit about what you and Brother Jim and Brother Lonnie are doing about this camera arrangement? Brother Jim slipped Brother Dave Wood this note. Just have a seat for a second. And I can't explain it well enough. So I know Brother Franco with the technical capacity can do that. But Brother Nestor found his identification in the teaching ministry of Brother Lonnie. He says, praise God, there's something other than evangelists and pastors. And so when he heard the teaching ministry, he says, that's me, that's who I am. And so for years, Brother Nestor has gone doing these seminars, these expos. Brother Chad and Brother Nestor, and I'm sure many other ministers, went this last time and did expos in Burma and other places. And being a teacher then, Brother Nestor would go, but none of them were sufficiently professionally recorded. And so can you imagine hearing this message today, and it never was recorded? I mean, this was a good word this morning. Okay, but it never got recorded. Well, that's what he does all the time, and just never gets recorded. And so Brother Lonnie, Brother Franco, Brother Jim all got together and said, there's got to be a way that whenever the word is being ministered, that it could be preserved. So then when Brother Nestor preaches, it can go through a translator because they'll have the two mics. And so, Brother Franco, why don't you come up, because I'm going to make a mess of it, and you kind of explain it to the people. Thank you.
Brother Jeff was doing a fine job describing the application. Basically, we wanted to give Brother Nestor everything he needed to record the messages. And so I was asked to put together a little system for him. And on tomorrow, Brother Nestor's going to come on in and we're going to hit it. And we're going to give a crash course on how to use everything. So basically, we're going to supply him with a video camera and a tripod. And there's a dual system microphone, so him and the translator will be mic'd. And then we're going to record everything directly to a laptop that we're going to supply him with a nice laptop. It's the latest thing. It's got a nice big hard drive on there, graphics card, video system. And so the camera will be connected to his laptop, the microphone is connected to the camera, and everything will be recorded onto his laptop. And so he'll be preaching, and the laptop will be recording. And from the laptop, we'll make a DVD, and so he'll be able to leave them with a DVD or take that DVD back with him and duplicate it and send a batch of DVDs back to that church. So anyway, it's not very big. Laptops, a small camera, a tripod, so he can take it with him and travel. He goes to India and all these places, and he'll be able to record and send these DVDs back to the church there. So anyway, that's been a kind of a last-minute thing to put together for him, and so, Lord willing, it'll all come together tomorrow. That's the plan. God bless.
And it is your constancy and your faithfulness that allows us to be able to do that. And when we see some funds that are in the missions account, and we say, you know, this is a very good opportunity to get him the tools so that the... See, what will happen is then the ministers will have a translation of that, Brother Dave, and they'll be able to... Those ministers then will be able to study this material and go over it and over and over and then teach it to their congregations. And then the bride at large gets to come up a little higher in their faith, and they get to grow and mature and develop. And so I'd like to have Brother Nestor come back and just minister to us. Wouldn't you like that? Yeah, we'll get that recorded, and that'd be wonderful. Amen. I was thinking, and I wrote it down, and I know I'm not going to get this right, Brother Chad, so why don't you come up here? I'm going to need your help on this one. I was actually going to have you and Angie come up, but I forgot you got five kids all around your feet. But what it is that I was thinking of two scenarios. Brother Kyle, are you here? Brother Kyle Weichert? There. Okay, Brother Kyle's right here. And I'm not going to get this just right, but I just thought I'd strike the iron while it's hot. And what it is that Chad was telling me a little bit of a testimony of he and Angie. She was raised Pentecost, and I can't remember if you said something about more of a legalistic background, and so you were not going to impose dress or anything. You were just going to let that become a revelation for her. Is that correct? And so because of her background, then you had to be very gracious, very careful, and very patient. And because of that background might hinder her, that idea of walking into a church and all of a sudden, oh, now I have to conform to a particular mode of dress and imagery, and all of a sudden, you know, that was frightening her, but you were going to give her the grace. Where then you take an opposite scenario, Brother Kyle and Carrie. Now, Brother Kyle and Carrie, Carrie didn't have that kind of background. And so when they saw, well, I'm not sure, I may get that wrong, but Kyle, why don't you come up here? Okay, Chad, why don't you start, and Kyle, you can finish. You got a few minutes? Hey, man, I feel all invigorated now, I tell you what. Praise God. So I'll let you guys explain it better than I can.
Well, I'll do my best. The kind of background we had, we were both raised Pentecostal, but we had seen everything from legalistic to liberalism in the Pentecostal churches. And so when we first came into this message, Angie's parents being raised Pentecostal, they actually weren't legalistic. It was more of a liberal type Pentecostal, which the liberal Pentecostals are very much against the legalistic Pentecostals. They have the wrong imagery of holiness. And so she was constantly being told by family that this was legalism. It was male superiority, men dominating the women having to walk behind the men, having no rights. Their word wasn't, you know, it wasn't even considered by the husband. A lot of things like that, a lot of false ideas. And these are the ideas I was taught growing up too in the Pentecostal church, that extreme holiness was all about men usurping authority over the women unjustly. So when we first come into the message, I started seeing things first before Angie did. And I really liked the way Brother Nestor preached about Adam so loving his wife. Because I so loved my wife, I didn't even know if she would believe this message. I just didn't want her to leave me. Right. You know, so I wasn't going to oppose any standards because I just wanted her to be with me. Right. You know, and so whether she, I, of course I wanted her to believe the message, and of course I wanted her to believe the same way I did and live in a standard of holiness and raise her children that way. But I wasn't going to force it because I just loved her. And I just wanted her to be with me. And so I think because of that, and we started praying together, because of that, there was just unconditional love. And because there was unconditional love, and after a time, it took some time, but after she saw that I wasn't forcing her to change, and I wasn't going to leave her if she didn't change, and I wasn't going to treat her badly if she didn't change. So after that, it began to put the barriers down, and she began to just hear with open ears what was being said. And she could receive the gospel truth without fear of rejection from me. And so over time, God just totally did a work and gave her a revelation of what true holiness is. And that's how it worked for us. It's your turn.
Well, for us, I don't exactly, other than Carrie locking me in the car and saying, we're going to talk about this. I remember that at work. She pulled up, you know. So the Lord was working really fast with us, but neither one of us were raised knowing anything about dress, you know. And we always told you, that's just your heart, you know. And so we both started studying it out, and I saw it right away, and Carrie, I think she saw it, she just didn't want to see it. And so when she locked me in the car that day, she's like, do you believe that with everything? I said, yeah, I believe that. I said, but, you know, you do what you ought to, what you think's right. I don't want you to do it because of me. But if you think it's right, you better do it. You know, it's up to you. So she did exactly what I wanted her to do. She went right to the Word. And she got the Bible out, and she just spent days and days reading Old Testament, New Testament, and then coming telling me about it. And she knew it better than I did, what the Lord was saying. And she realized it's just because we love her. We love the Lord Jesus. And she loves the Lord Jesus. And that's why we do it. We don't do it because you guys think less of us if we don't. We do it because that's what he's put in the Word. So, and it was out of that, you know, I'll tell you this little aspect about it. Once she was so convinced of it, she packed up all her clothes and her slacks and jeans and stuff, and she put them in a bag, and she put them in the garage. And I didn't know what they were. I thought it was garbage. So I threw them all away. And come to find out, she had a backup plan. She was going to try this out a little bit. If this didn't work out, she'd go back to her old clothes. Well, there was no more bridge to go back. So it was, the Lord took care of that. And so it's the same thing. So, yeah.
Some through the fire, some through the floods, all through the blood. Let's sing a song as we dismiss you in the wonderful, wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Brother Nestor, when do you leave? Tuesday. Okay. You know what I was going to do, didn't you? I mean, when you get to hear something fresh like that, just a unique approach to the Word of God, you try to capitalize on it, you realize. So we just have to get Brother Nestor back. I had absolutely no problems with this accent at all, did you? Okay, see, we all speak Philippine. So we're doing great. Praise God. Father God, thank you for a full and wonderful day. Yes, sure, a little bit weary on the flesh, but how we have been edified. How we've been touched by the missionary report. God, may I pray for each one here that they put a little money in a jar every month, and it would go to Brother Jim in the missions field. And that the brothers would do just as they did this week. They sit down and say, what's the best way to use this money? And God, we found a solution this week, but next week there'll be another need, and next month another. So I pray for every little boy and girl that they'll pull on their mama's skirt and daddy's coattail and say, Daddy, don't forget to put the money in the jar for the missions field. God, that we'll every bit do something for the kingdom consistently every week, every one of us. That Brother Nestor and men like him can go and share this glorious gospel. This gospel sometimes we take for granted. And God, may you forgive us, Father God, for taking it for granted. We've been so blessed. I pray for those that, when I think of our brother yesterday saying those words at the wedding, and how initially Charity rejected his advances. And then Brother Randy brought it out, but that God loved us first. This is love. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. This is love. And Lord, he waited patiently for many, many months, and he pursued again. And by the grace of God, after several attempts, Charity saw that this was the man that would be a part of the rest of her life. And God, I pray for those that are here as they hear the voice of God. I don't care what your background has been. Maybe you've been raised in church. Sometimes that's kind of dangerous. Especially when you've never, maybe you looked at people. Maybe you even looked at your parents and saw their failures. And you know you cannot stop at just warming a pew. You have to make a decision. It starts in your heart. Starts with your lips. If a man believes in his heart and confesses with his mouth, don't make it hard. If you're at a point now where you know you've got to make that commitment, then make it simple. Here at 1:10 in the afternoon, on Sunday, 1:10 in the afternoon on Sunday, you can say, Jesus, it's time. You've called me and called me, and I have spurned your love. I've silenced that voice, and I've filled it with other things. And I've got to stop doing that. I got to stop doing that for my life, my soul. And I've got to stop doing it for the ones around me and my loved ones. And I've got to be the woman or the man that you've ordained me to be. So, Lord, I hear your call. I hear the message clearly. You love me still. You love me still. And God, I accept you. I embrace you. Help me only to remain faithful right now. And I don't know, there may be several hands right now, several hearts right now, that heard what Brother Jeff just said. Would you do that? Give your life. Confess it to him right now. Father, forgive me for my slothfulness. Forgive me for putting you off. I accept your embrace, your love, your mercy, your grace. I ask forgiveness for all my sins, my failures. And I believe that you are forgiving me. And I believe that your blood is sufficient enough to place all of those dark blots and blemishes in my past in the past, into the sea of your forgiveness. And I want to walk with you. I need your help, Lord. I can't do it without you. I cannot make another step without you. Please, God, don't let me live life without you. Please don't let me go forward another day without sealing it in a pledge and a promise to give my life to you. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. What's the first words of that song? Four?
For the Lord is good, and his love endures forevermore. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. Yes, His love endures forevermore.
Sing it unto him now.
Yes, for the Lord is good, and his love endures. Yes, for the Lord is good, hallelujah, and his love endures forevermore. Yes, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forevermore.
We've been made more than conquerors.
We've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. Yes, we've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Sing it now. Oh, we've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. And we've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Sing that chorus again. Yes, we've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. And we've been made victorious.
blood of Jesus Christ. You alone are worthy of all the glory. You alone are worthy of all the praise. You alone are worthy of all the honor. Lord, we bless your name. You alone are worthy of all the glory. You alone are worthy of all the praise. You alone are worthy of all the honor. Our comforter and friend, all powerful, your everything, you are the great I.